Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Voters are heading to the polls today, and they might want to think about what's best for the Texas economy as they make their choices. And they can ask if the policy priorities of the state's candidates are in sync with the state's business leaders. Members of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce and Chambers of Commerce across the state took part in a survey looking into the Texas business trends ahead of the 2018 primary elections, and the results might surprise some of the statewide leaders of Texas. We're joined by Richard Pettis. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, and Nick Driver. He's the director of research for Hill Knowlton Strategies. And you can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. Richard Pettis, always great to have you here, sir.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
Tell me about this survey.
Well, so my colleagues from the largest cities in Texas get together periodically, and then we get together in a very robust way to prepare ourselves for the legislative agenda, that is legislative session, which we'll have next year. And we come up with a common agenda that's really focused on the metro areas of our state. And so we've had a difficult legislative session. Last one was probably the most anti-business one that we've ever had. And so we said, well, we need to get ahead of the curve, and why don't we do, through the great help of Hill and Knowlton, a survey to really make sure that what we're saying is important to us is really what businesses are saying. And so we hatched the idea of the survey, and Hill Knowlton, who's done this for many, many years, helped us put it together, and we put it out to our members in the various cities, and we got some excellent results, which are not surprising whatsoever.
Nick Driver, the director of research for Hill and Knowlton Strategies, can you tell us more about what you asked?
Yeah, we asked a series of questions, less than 15 questions, so it wasn't a real long survey, but, you know, collectively we asked questions about a variety of different topics in the survey, everything from direction of the economy to, you know, what barriers people viewed as affecting business recruitment, you know, regulatory impacts, and a few other sort of interesting items that, you know, related to NAFTA, the bathroom bill, et cetera.
So is this like an email kind of a thing? How did you conduct a survey?
Yeah, that's a good question. We started out with collecting names of the chamber members from each group, and then we put together an online survey. So, yeah, everything would be programmed and hosted online, shared a link with these individual chambers that then sent it out to their members, and we collected results. In total, we got 450 chamber members from across these various chambers that we did surveys with in the middle of February. You know, and these chambers obviously represent thousands of Texas companies that employ a large portion of the state's workforce. So
these are people who own, run, operate businesses. They've got to meet payroll. They got to pay the taxes on their businesses, and they've got to be good stewards of whatever it is that they got going on, right?
Absolutely, and they really, we believe, have a pulse on business in Texas.
All right, so it seems like, you know, Texas, we're a red state, right? That's last I checked. And the direction of the Texas economy, what's the result on that? Can you talk about that, Richard?
Yes. So, again, the survey was really asked focus areas. You know, where should we be spending money? Where should we be spending time? And so, as we all assumed would be correct, infrastructure was high up on the list, education, workforce development, access to qualified talent. Actually, even property taxes was voted very high by the folks that took the survey. So these are all priorities that we have been focusing our time and effort on for many years, but it's been confirmed that our work indeed is focused the right place. And then we asked some other questions about what are kind of things that we shouldn't be focusing on. And lo and behold, the bathroom bill was one of them. And so the whole idea of spending time and effort and energy on a bathroom bill is actually hurting state efforts to attract and keep talent. That was very high at 58% in San Antonio, 64% for the entire state of Texas. So while we're a red state, I think we need to refocus the red efforts on the things that make more sense for our business community.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment, if you tell us what you think the Texas legislature should be focusing on in order to improve or maintain the Texas economy. The number is 210-614-8980. The chamber members across the state have spoken out, and they say we don't want a bathroom bill. And a bathroom bill, that's just an effort in the last legislative session that would have prohibited people using the facilities. It had to jive with your birth, your gender at birth. And it was real kind of a funky kind of a thing. What did you think when that got floated at first, Richard?
Well, we were completely surprised and caught off guard. And of course, we rallied against it very, very difficult and very hard. And it took a lot of time and effort and energy. And that was a surprising thing, that there wasn't a single business in San Antonio that I'm aware of that ever called me and said, Richard, we have a problem with bathrooms in Texas or in San Antonio. We need to change this. So it was really a surprise and puzzling, by the way, to my colleagues all throughout the state, hence our coming up together so vehemently against it. And by the way, it wasn't chambers. It was groups that focused their time and effort and energy on tourism for the state, manufacturers. Of course, the LGBT community was against it, but it was a pretty important coalition of people that came together and said, this is wrongheaded and the wrong direction for our state.
Nick Drivers, how long y'all been doing this type of survey?
Oh, gosh, we've been in the business since the early 90s doing this type of work. So, you know, we've got a lot of familiarity with the different types of issues, both, you know, political and we do also a lot of more of the corporate type work as well.
So have things changed since that time? Have the business views, attitudes changed, or what the chambers, what they want out of the legislature, has that altered much?
I don't know that it's altered much other than, I mean, I think infrastructure and education are always important issues. I think what was really interesting about this poll and to your point about the bathroom bill, I mean, I think asking those questions, I mean, we teased it ourselves. Do we even ask this question? Do we pose this question about what businesses think? And we've found ourselves thinking it's a pretty important aspect to paint some context around the overall environment beyond what issues may have changed over time. I mean, obviously, infrastructure and education are staples here, but, you know, the overall context of something like a bathroom bill is pretty critical to.
But y'all ask much more than that. You're really trying to talk to these business owners about what the challenges that they're facing. Is that right, Richard?
Yes. So we talked about things like a rainy day fund. We asked, if we have another budget shortfall, should we be using the rainy day fund to fill the gap? And the most survey respondents said yes. We asked about public-private partnerships, and specifically toll roads, as a mechanism to fund infrastructure. 63% said yes. So again, these are mantras that folks talk about, but we have very clear data that says people are interested, business people are interested in spending money, investing in ourselves so that we can further our infrastructure.
Let's go to the callers. Number is 210-614-8980. If you think the Texas legislature is doing the right things, Texas leadership to support business in the state, here's Marcus. Marcus, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How's it going?
Good.
One thing that I have always thought that that the legislature needs to focus on, especially this upcoming session, fixing school finance reform. We have some districts where just we don't have enough money going into even with the Robin Hood program, and so that really affects our future workforce, and it prevents us from having a higher educated, a better informed workforce, which is overall better for our economy. And so, like our wealthier districts, those kids are going to end up being fine. The wealthier districts, like those schools, match up well with some of the higher-ranking schools across the country. But in our poorer districts, like, we just have too many kids missing out on the opportunity.
All right. Now, Marcus, thank you for the call. And so, Richard Pettis, did y'all ask about that?
We did. Nearly a third of the folks that responded support the state spending more on public education and infrastructure, even if it meant a small tax increase to businesses. Now, I'm not advocating for a tax increase, but these are the questions that we asked, and business people said yes. If that's what it takes, then we're interested in having a dialogue on it. And then if you look at the whole school finance thing, I think Marcus is very astute in that right now, the school districts send all the money to Austin. Austin turns around and doles it back out in a formula that is clearly broken, but they keep over $1 billion, over $1 billion of the tax money that's sent for education, and they use it on other things. That seems to me like a broken system.
We look at Oklahoma, and there was an attitude of cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes in Oklahoma, and that was supposed to improve the business climate there. And now we see that there are a number of school districts only able to operate 4 days out of the week for classrooms, for schools. And is that something that you're watching and saying, we don't want to duplicate that in Texas, Richard?
For sure. And by the way, it's also happened in Kansas. Same thing. They went on a tax cutting spree, which is generally what chambers want, right? We want to be able to cut taxes so we can turn around and reinvest those dollars in the state. But we have a robust economy right now. When you have a robust economy, you want to invest in your state. And so I think that's where our focus is going to be.
Okay, we're going to keep talking about what do business owners in Texas want from our state government. And we invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
In writing the music for the Oscar-winning animated film Coco, the filmmakers and songwriters went to Mexico to gather as much authentic material as they could.
So when you see the characters dancing, they are really dancing to, you know, authentic zapateado.
Next time on Fronteras, Texas native and Latina Hollywood composer Germaine Franco talks about writing for Coco. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Legislative priorities, what are they up in Austin? But what do business leaders in Texas, what do they want to see happening up there? The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to call in and join our conversation, as we're talking about a survey given to chambers of commerce, the leading ones across the state, and what their members are asking for. And this is Ted, and Ted, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm a retired hospital CEO, and one of the areas where I see that the legislature has been remiss, as well as the administration, is in investing in health care in the state of Texas, particularly in investing in expanding Medicaid through the grants that you get from the Affordable Care Act, which you pay out a dollar and you get somewhere around $10 in total. You get $9 back. And what that will do is improve the health of your workforce, first of all, for all the employers around the state. The second thing it will do is if you have that expanded dollars coming in for Medicaid, that money will go to providers, hospitals and doctors and nurses, et cetera. They, in turn, will go out into the community and spend it on gasoline and groceries and automobiles and things of this nature, and will make a big difference in the economy, particularly of these small rural communities where hospitals are failing because the state has not accessed these Medicaid funds. So if you can't buy the argument that it's good for the, just in general, for the health of the population, it is good, a good investment for the workforce, and it's a good investment for the local economy.
All right. Thank you for that, Ted. Nick Driver with Hill and Knowlton. You conducted this survey, director of research there. What did you ask about? Did you ask about healthcare?
It's a good question. We didn't ask anything specifically in the survey about healthcare. We did ask some questions at the beginning, just generally speaking, kind of open-ended type questions around, you know, what do people think are the biggest barriers? What do they think are the biggest priorities? And healthcare, while it was further down the list, the gentleman, Ted, I think you bring up a good point about the fact that the healthcare aspect of it is really viewed as part of the workforce development, not only training and education for employees, but providing them with the right access to healthcare and healthcare benefits, I think is really important. And that idea of workforce development and producing a qualified workforce is really important. So that would be the one aspect I would reference, but we did not dive specifically into healthcare in the survey.
I don't see a question about climate change. Is that something that y'all considered to ask about?
We did not in this specific survey, only because of the fact that we were trying to keep it so short. So we really had a very specified number of questions that we were trying to focus on and get it really keep it really tight so that we could get a good response rate.
Maybe in a post-Harvey world, we'll think about, you know, should business leaders, what do they care about climate change, if they think it's a problem or not? So Richard Perez, CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I think that's right. But at this point, we were just trying to really focus on, you know, transportation, economic development, that sort of thing. But let me go back to Ted's issue. I think Ted is right
on healthcare.
On the healthcare, yes, because a couple of legislatures ago, we actually had a mantra that we were trying to get, and that was called spend a dime and get a dollar. So exactly what he's talking about, 90% you're getting back with, you know, 10% you're getting a dollar back. So it's a good investment. It really helps because we have such large low-income populations that rely on going to the emergency room to get their primary health care, which, of course, is the most expensive health care that exists. We have amazing hospital systems in San Antonio and throughout the state, and they're burdening a huge cost in dealing with this uncompensated care. So Medicare, Medicaid, all those things could be very beneficial in helping bring dollars to help those hospital systems deal with that issue.
So Texas is, you know, it's a red state. We've got Republicans and all up and down the state leadership, and it has been the Republican brand for a long time that's the party of business, that they're going to support business and do what they can to help them. Do you think they've strayed from that, Richard, you know, and that they need this survey is telling them this is what we want. We don't want these other things. This is what we want.
Yeah, I think clearly there's a divergence of the issues that they're tackling. I think all issues are important. However, when you have a legislature that meets for a certain period of time every 2 years, you really need to focus your time, effort, and energy on the things that make the most sense. And I think our survey is a way for them to understand clearly what are the things that we think make a lot of sense, the things that we need to address. Because at the end of the day, if we're not smart, the economic boom that our state has been undergoing for many years now is going to go away, and it's going to go to another state. And so we need to refocus time, effort, and energy on transportation, infrastructure, education, all those things that if we don't get right, we will fall behind and we will not be the best state in the country.
But people are moving to Texas in droves. We know that our economy is booming and that people are moving here every day.
They are.
So we can't argue with that, can you?
Well, you're right. But the challenge is that if we don't focus or refocus our energy efforts, then we are going to have a step back two or three or four times. And so that's our challenge, is to talk to our state leaders, use real data that is very straightforward. And, you know, in my mind, it is not meant to fight. It's meant to focus. And so that's what we're looking for, a focus on these efforts.
So, Nick Driver, you're the guy that really did the hard work and crunched numbers and reached out to people and put this survey together. And one of the big questions you have is about immigration. And so you asked them whether or not the federal debate over immigration is negatively affecting their business. And what did you find?
Yeah, over 4 in 10 overall said that, so 44% said that it is having a negative, at least a somewhat negative impact on their business. So less than 1 in 10, so only 8% said a positive impact. So you've got about half that are sort of neutral, but 44% that say it's having a negative impact on their business.
And do we know, I mean, is that all we know about that response, or is there anything, I mean, it seemed like, are they saying that they can't find people, or what kind of businesses are being impacted and what kinds aren't? I mean, Richard, do you know?
Yeah, we didn't get into that kind of specificity, but my hunch is that very much like the bathroom bill, it just casts a negative pall on our state. We're trying to be a welcoming state. We have been a welcoming state, and so when you're spending time, effort, and energy at the federal level anyway on not solving the immigration issue, then that hurts a state that is adjacent to Mexico. It seems to me that that's the logical thing. But along those same lines, 78% of San Antonio business leaders said NAFTA has had a positive effect on their business or on Texas. 78%, that is a huge number, and 43% overall in Texas. So NAFTA, which, by the way, we've been very involved in, that is the San Antonio Chamber. In fact, I was just in Mexico City last week talking to business leaders from Mexico, U.S., and Canada about the need to modernize NAFTA and come up with an agreement. So we're spending a lot of time, effort, and energy on NAFTA because it makes sense. We're the largest exporting state in the country, so we need to help with this fight.
And did you ask about NAFTA directly?
Yes, we did. We asked about NAFTA directly. 70% of San Antonio business leaders said NAFTA has had a positive effect on San Antonio.
Any concerns about these steel and aluminum tariffs that are being talked about?
A ton of concerns, you know, and not directly. So steel doesn't, we don't have steel plants necessarily in San Antonio or in Texas, but steel goes into a whole bunch of stuff that gets produced in Texas, either primarily or as a part of the production operation. And so it would have a negative consequence on San Antonio
so
for sure in the state.
If you're putting together Tacoma trucks or Tundra trucks, or what do you care about steel and aluminum prices?
You care very much about steel and aluminum prices. And the other thing is we have these supply chains that involve Mexico, U.S., and Canada. So, you know, you fabricate them not only in San Antonio or not only in Texas, but some piece goes here, then it goes to Mexico, then it goes to Canada, then it comes back. So it is a very intricate supply chain, and if we upend that, then we really put ourselves in a tough spot.
But then you need
against the world.
But then you need infrastructure. You need trucks. I mean, you need roads, bridges, things to move all this stuff around.
Which goes back to our original point, right? We need to invest in our infrastructure.
Okay, and so how... You're saying we want this, we want that, we want public education, we want infrastructure, we want where is that money going to come from?
Well, you know, I pay taxes every day, property taxes, sales taxes, business taxes, we all do. And so those go right to the state, and then it's the responsibility of the state legislature to figure out how they're going to spend that money. And so our goal then is to affect how we spend that money, and that's what we're going to use this survey, the results, to help drive that going forward.
So commerce, Chamber of Commerce people, members, they don't hate paying taxes. They just hate paying taxes when the money's not being spent in wisely. Is that it?
That's correct. That's correct.
And so Nick Driver, did you get a feel of the attitude of the people who took this survey? Were people, are they frustrated? Are they amused? What are they?
I think there's probably some frustration. I mean, when you look at, particularly when you think about these workforce issues and preparing the students that are going to be graduating and coming up through post-secondary and creating a high-performance workplace. I mean, one of the questions we asked was, how confident are you that enough students are graduating through these systems that are going to be the kinds of leaders that your business needs? And 74% said they're not confident. So when you look at something like education, they're not confident. When you look at, you know, most... 83% say that we're not doing, given the increasing population of Texas, we're not investing enough, the appropriate amount of funds to build and maintain infrastructure. So there's clearly some dissatisfaction with particularly infrastructure and education in terms of the outcomes.
Today is decision day on this because it's a primary day, and many of these people are going to be challenged in the primaries. And we saw that there are some people from the Chamber of Commerce ranks that have stepped up and say, I am running in order to try to make this correction in Austin. And so, Richard Pérez, in the last minute, what does that mean to you? What are we going to see at the end when the votes are counted?
Well, I think that – so we have, as a chamber, been pushing very, very hard to remind people that today is election day, to remind people that last week and the week before were early voting, and to get them out to vote. It is so key to get the right people in the right places to help make and move our agenda forward. It's a hard thing, however, and we need to get folks engaged again.
Richard Pérez is the president and CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. Nick Driver is the director of research for Hill & Knowlton Strategies. This is The Source. We're going to have election coverage tonight here, and tune in tonight for The Source election coverage.